Welcome back. For those of you joining us just now, I'm Ethan Elkind, and this is Your Calls One Planet series. We are podcasting our show. You can find out more information at kalw.org. If you click on news, you can find our program listed there. You can listen to our past shows and sign up for our newsletter to find out what's coming up next. And if you have a show idea for us, please go ahead and email it to us at yourcall@kalw.org. Now we're going to discuss the massive giveaways to the oil and gas industry that were embedded in the budget law that passed on a completely party line Republican vote in July 4th when it was signed into law by President Trump. In her latest piece in Rolling Stone, our guest today, Antonia Yuhas, writes that the budget and billions of subsidies and handouts the fossil fuel industry, Trump's tax bill threatens nearly a million U.S. jobs. It will bring higher electricity and transportation costs and less reliable energy. Antonia Yuhas is an award-winning independent investigative journalist reporting on climate, energy, and environmental justice. She is a regular contributor to Rolling Stone magazine. Her writing also appears in the New York Times, LA Times, National Geographic, The Atlantic, and other outlets as well. She's the author of three books, including The Tyranny of Oil. She also founded Uncovering Oil in 2014 to support investigative journalism. Antonia, so good to have you back with us.
Thanks for having me, Ethan. Great to be back with you.
Well, we have a lot to cover, and I know you've really gotten into the, no pun intended, dirty details of this massive budget bill, which, as I mentioned, Trump signed into law on July 4th. It is really a massive tax giveaway to the rich. It's going to add $4.5 trillion to the deficit. And as you have written in your latest article in Rolling Stone, which we've posted on our website, and I do encourage listeners to read that, as it has really very helpful detail. It gives the top 1% of families more than $1 trillion in tax cuts, slashes Medicaid health coverage and food assistance for low-income Americans. It's also one of the worst environmental bills in U.S. history. And the dire impacts of this law on the environment is hardly getting any attention, especially as we're watching these devastating floods in Texas, which we just covered. The human toll of these extreme weather events is really massive. And despite the risks that we're facing and the need for trying to reduce pollution, how do you explain the lack of attention to the environmental impacts of this law, especially when we're seeing the deadly consequences for frontline communities, you know, again, almost in real time in terms of what's happening in Texas?
Yeah, thank you again, Ethan. And it's great to follow the excellent segment you just did on the Texas, devastating Texas floods. First, just to clarify, this is a tax bill. It's not the budget bill. So the budget bill is yet to come, and that could be even worse, even more trouble. What Trump and the Republicans did was to take a tax bill and morph it into a monstrous tax spending budget, sort of like everything they wanted to jam it into this one package. And that's important because it was passed using special rules called reconciliation that allowed everything to move much more quickly, with much less debate, with much less opportunity for public awareness, involvement, and pressure. And that was something that Trump and the Republicans really wanted to do, because it turned out the more that Americans knew about this bill, the more opportunity they had to learn about it, the more they hated it. And it was profoundly unpopular, with a really great study that was done showing really just this piece, which was the more information people had, the more they understood this tax bill, the more they opposed it. And that was even more true of Republicans than Democrats, who would come into the room already with a great amount of doubt about what Trump and the Republicans had to deliver. Republicans would come into the room with less doubt, and both groups would walk out of the room opposed to this tax and spending bill. Nonetheless, using this sped-up, fast-tracked process, Trump and the Republicans, on a pure party line vote, passed this tax bill, about 1,000 pages worth of it, that has been called one of the most regressive tax bills in U.S. history, meaning it gives enormous amounts of benefits to the uber wealthy and takes away, particularly from public spending, government spending on necessities, the government safety net, healthcare, food, you name it, from lower income, middle income and lower income and poor Americans. And it also blows up the federal deficit. And as you say, it is just a gut punch on our national effort to provide clean air, clean water, confront the climate crisis, and do so in an equitable way. Mm-hmm. I actually wrote two articles on this bill. In the first one, I went throughout rural communities in Louisiana and in hard-hit neighborhoods and cities to look at environmental and climate justice communities that had been receiving funding supported by Biden's Inflation Reduction Act that faced their funds being cut off if the tax bill passed. The tax bill did pass. And then I wrote another article for Rolling Stone detailing all of the many, many handouts the fossil fuel industry got in addition to the gutting of the environmental and climate justice provisions. And what I think has gotten the least attention is the environmental and climate justice provisions that were hit. And in addition, we have not paid enough attention to the overall giveaway that this was to the fossil fuel industry and the way that it will harm our climate and environment, more broadly speaking.
Well, and Louisiana, of course, is the home state and where the district of Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson, that's where he is from and where he represents one of those congressional districts. And you asked Speaker Johnson at the press conference around this tax bill. Thank you for clarifying that it's not a budget bill, it's a tax bill. You asked Speaker Johnson about exactly those impacts that you saw on the ground in his state about how the law would gut environmental and climate justice funding from the Inflation Reduction Act. You asked him how it would impact rural Louisianans. What did he say in response?
He basically said, we've written an amazing bill that takes care of everybody, including my constituents, and that the projected harms are much overblown. And that is simply not true. The projected harms that I documented in Louisiana are very clear, and this is already in a state that is one of the most polluted states in the country because of its extreme fossil fuel and petrochemical operations, its low environmental protections and standards. And one of the communities that I went to in St. John the Baptist has the highest cancer rate from air pollution in the country, 7 times the rate of any other census tract in the United States. And that's because of one major polluter there. And there's been local community efforts against that polluter, local community efforts against the excessive pollution of the fossil fuel and petrochemical industry in Louisiana. And a lot of those efforts were given a significant boost. They've had success in halting new operations that have tried to come in halting expansions of other operations. And they were given more financial assistance through something called the Climate and Environmental Justice Block Grant, set up under the Inflation Reduction Act. And that one grant, just one small piece of the Inflation Reduction Act, which was only worth $3 billion, is 80 times more than any federal investment thus far in environmental and climate justice funding. Mm-hmm. And that's just one piece of the Inflation Reduction Act. So that money was zeroed out under the tax bill. Any unspent money is now zeroed out. And that's true for as many provisions as the Republicans could pass, for zeroing out funding for climate, for environmental and climate justice from the Inflation Reduction Act, and in rescinding hundreds of thousands of dollars in tax breaks for renewable energy, for consumers using renewable energy and producers producing it, for state and local grants for tax breaks for renewable energy and implementing renewable energy provisions at the state and local level, and eliminating the tax credits for buying EV vehicles, electric vehicles, and a whole host of other ways of zeroing out what the Biden administration did to try and transition us more aggressively away from fossil fuels to renewable energy.
And Antonia, given the impacts to these constituents, these frontline communities in places like Louisiana, these red states, red districts, Republican areas, you know, I guess similar to the question I asked Dr. Masters on our segment about the Texas floods and the poor disaster response there, do you think that there will be a political pushback, or are these individuals just simply not empowered enough to overcome the fossil fuel entrenched interests and the interests of the high income earners that clearly are benefiting the most from this tax bill?
You know, I think we'll see. I think that Americans are going to be hit by this bill in lots of ways. One of them is, and there's an expectation that because the bill essentially gets rid of all of these tax breaks that were being put in place for shifting to renewable energy, as I said, at the consumer level, the state, the local, the producer level, that it's estimated that the average energy bill of Americans all across the country will increase by hundreds of dollars for how much they pay for home energy and also how much they pay for transportation. That's because by the way that the tax bill provides billions and billions and billions of dollars in new tax breaks and new benefits and subsidies to the fossil fuel industry and takes them away from our ability to transition to renewables. Renewables are less expensive, they're more efficient, they're more reliable than fossil fuels, and this bill takes us backwards, becoming more reliant on fossil fuels, which are more expensive. And that's going to increase home energy bills, increase transportation bills. People don't like that. And hopefully we'll be able to continue to provide information to everyone about why it is that their electricity bills have gone up, why it is that their transportation costs have gone up. That there's a direct line between the policy choices put in place by Trump and the Republicans, much against the forceful resistance of Democrats and independents in Congress that resulted in that. And in the midterm elections, people will hopefully express their feelings about those changes in the way that they vote.
Well, that really is the key. It's educating the public to link the impacts to the policies and the people behind those policies. And I'd also note there were a number of moderate centrist Republicans who voted against it. These bills barely passed in both the Senate and the House with some Republican defections as well. If you're just joining us, this is Your Calls One Planet series. I'm your host, Ethan Elkind, and we're speaking with Antonia Juhas, award-winning independent investigative journalist who reports on climate, energy, and environmental justice. She has new articles in Rolling Stone around the impacts of federal cutbacks to climate funding to frontline communities and what this tax bill does. And she did correct me on that. It's not a budget bill, it's a tax bill. What it does in terms of massive giveaways to the fossil fuel sector. I want to go ahead and open up the phone lines now. If you have questions about the tax bill, if you have questions about what this means for the climate fight, or comments about what it means if you work in the clean tech sector and are affected by this budget, we would love to hear from you. The number to call to join the conversation is 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. Or you can email any questions or comments you have to yourcall@kalw.org. And again, the phone line, 866-798-TALK. Antonia, your article in Rolling Stone really goes through methodically all the subsidies and new provisions that are granted to the oil, gas, and coal sectors in this country. It's really an astounding U-turn on U.S. policy. I mean, we've always been subsidizing fossil fuels, but now to not only kill the clean energy tax credits and penalize them in some cases, now it's really putting fossil fuel on a supercharger here. Can you describe just maybe some of the highlights or lowlights as it might be, depending on your perspective, of what the fossil fuel industry is getting from this tax bill?
Yeah, there's a lot. So I'll do my best to do the highlights. So, I'd say the biggest gift to the fossil fuel industry, what they wanted the most was the continuation of all of the benefits they got from the Trump's 2017 tax bill. This bill reduced the overall minimum corporate tax rate by 40%. That is a massive cut. And it's a massive cut for companies that were already barely paying anything in federal taxes. For ExxonMobil alone in the first year, that cut reduced Exxon's effective tax rate to a negative 86% for the first year the tax bill was put into place. ConocoPhillips got a negative tax rate of 1.5%. So Exxon got a payout just in the first year of $6 billion. So the industry wanted to make sure all of that continued, and also that some of the provisions that were set to expire in this year, in 2025, from that tax bill, not only didn't expire, but became more lucrative. And they succeeded in doing that. Folks might remember that when Trump campaigned for office this year, he had actually run on a platform that he was going to reduce that corporate tax rate even further to 15%. Well, the industry knew that that was asking for too much. It was going to cost about $1 trillion extra dollars to do that. And they were afraid that it would result in more pushback to the bill. So they actually asked him to back away from that so that they could instead get these other provisions that people pay less attention to basically through. And they succeeded in doing that. They got locked in deductions for the way that they expense their how much it costs to prepare a well to drill, for example, how much their capital expenses costs. And they also got something, which is Biden had tried in the Inflation Reduction Act to get at this problem of corporations not paying taxes. And he had implemented something called the Corporate Alternative Minimum Tax, which was a minimum 15% tax rate. Well, the oil industry lobbied really heavily against that measure. Marathon Oil, for example, identified that the only tax liability it would have had in 2024 was the alternative minimum tax. So they snuck into this tax bill, basically a loophole that allows them to get away with getting around the entire alternative minimum tax. And that will, again, make it so that oil and gas companies pay significantly less in federal taxes. They added something, they made more lucrative also another provision, one of the more expensive provisions of the bill, worth $64 billion, $65 billion giveaway, which is how they expense their capital expenditures, and allowing that provision of the 2017 tax bill to not only not expire, but be expanded, is worth an extra $65 billion to the fossil fuel industry. After those key tax provisions, the biggest giveaway to the fossil fuel industry is essentially the gut punch to renewable energy. Mm-hmm. And that's going to really give them a significant leg up in their effort to push back our ability to rapidly transition to renewables and away from fossil fuels.
Yeah, really kneecapping the competition to fossil fuels, which of course is clean energy. Well, we have a caller on the line, Stephen in San Francisco, joining us. Stephen, welcome to Your Calls One Planet series.
Thank you. The real question I have, after listening to your marvelous program and detailing everything, is why the Democratic Party and moderate Republicans are so inept in communicating to the constituents the danger of all these things. I don't see them really articulating very well. It's marvelous your program comes on, but I don't see it affecting the politicians, their voting rates. They keep getting reelected. I don't see people angry in the streets. This is the danger of destruction of research institutions, weather institutions, all these things. Mm-hmm. You're articulating beautifully, and I don't see the politicians really communicating it to their constituents. Yeah. Adequately.
No, it's
I don't know what's gone on with the Democratic and moderate Republicans.
No, thank you, Stephen, for that. And Antonia, I mean, to Stephen's point, if this bill really is that unpopular, where is the pushback? Where is the ability of the opposition to try to prevent, you know, it's too late now, but to have prevented this tax bill from getting passed in the first place?
Well, you know, I think we could talk for a very long time about what the successful tools of the parties in pushing their mandates, but really at the end of the day, what it comes down to is who has more people in Congress to vote. I think Republicans lost maybe 2-3 at the most Republicans in the House who voted against the bill. There had been a huge stand by the so-called Freedom Caucus because they supposedly don't like deficits, but they all voted for this bill because they fell in line behind Trump. And unless Democrats, I was in the House when House Speaker, Minority Leader, excuse me, Hakeem Jeffries, Democratic Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, held the House floor with a speech that was the longest House speech in U.S. history in his attempt to at least slow and block the bill. He spoke for almost 9 hours without sitting down. He was surrounded by the other members of the Democratic Party who were detailing for 9 hours the problems with this bill. And many members had been doing that in the lead up to the bill in the House and then the Senate, and then it had to go back to the House. And I think, you know, we have seen more protests against the Trump administration in the first months of this year than in the same period in 2017. I think people are noticing. I think the Democrats are noticing. And at the end of the day, it came down to votes. Mm-hmm. All the independents and all the Democrats voted against the bill. In the Senate, J.D. Vance had to break the tie, so he came in and broke the tie. In the House, the Republicans, many Republicans, as you said, moderates, who had said they were going to vote against the bill, voted for it, and conservatives who said they were going to vote against the bill, voted for it, and all of the Democrats and all of the independents voted against it. So yes. I think what it comes to down to in my mind is if you expect votes on legislation to go a certain way, it depends on who's voted into office to make those votes. And yes. So, you know, that comes down to how people vote at all levels of government, not just for president, but also for House and Senate as well.
Well, and also the financial impact here. Trump during the campaign had told oil and gas executives if they contribute $1 billion to his campaign, he would reverse many of Biden's environmental rules. And the green advocacy group Climate Power has revealed that big oil spent $445 million in the last election cycle to influence Trump and Congress. So some major structural advantages on the part of the fossil fuel sector here. But I guess my response to Stephen, we'll see what happens. I think, Antonia, you summed it up well. Their resistance is brewing, and we'll see if that manifests itself in some ways going forward now in future elections and future battles to come. I want to go back to the phone lines because we have Peter dialing in from Florida. Peter, welcome to Your Calls, One Planet series.
Thank you. I don't know how much this kind of dovetails with what you were recently talking about, but this is what I called about, because think about what happened in Texas. They talked about all of the securities that were there, and this one was cut back a little. And you know what it reminded me of? What may look like government waste or redundancy to an outsider may be fail-safe. That nuance is something that can slip by if you're thinking, oh, that's government waste, what do you need that for? But it may be that redundancy is actually going to catch a nuance that you know what I'm saying? Because I'm thinking in terms of sports, sometimes the greatest plays you ever see were a matter of someone picking up some nuance and running from shortstop to first base to catch it in case the ball was overthrown. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
There so in terms nuances. Of articulating the value of government as a backstop, is that what you're getting at?
Depending on people who have been there a while and even redundant systems, because one of them may be the one that catches that detail. Yes. That's crucial.
Well, yes, Antonia, any thoughts in response to Peter's point here?
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. I think when we were hearing, you know, what happened in Texas, a lot of the programs that are being cut or proposed to be cut by the Trump administration, as your caller said, may appear to be redundancies to the public, but are critical life-saving, can be critical life-saving redundancies, that the research we do, the warnings that we put in place, the attempts to rein in the industry, these are all programs that right now are funded by the federal government, and there isn't anyone else waiting on the wings to come in and fill in that void. And the result is lives lost. Coming up after Texas, the story on Texas, you just have to remember, you know, the worsening climate crisis results in deaths. It kills people. And we understand what causes it and what worsens it. It's fossil fuels. And we have tools to move past fossil fuels. These are all things we can do. We can lessen the extremes being caused by the worsening climate crisis by significantly reducing our dependency and use of fossil fuels and our dependency on the fossil fuel industry. Mm-hmm. This tax bill goes exactly the opposite direction, as do many of the other policies of the Trump administration. But cutting back on things like research doesn't only lead to immediate potential deaths. It's how we hold polluters to account is by understanding the emissions that they put into the air, by understanding and documenting what the impacts of that would be, by predicting it so that we can stop it. Yeah. And that is, again, where cuts will harm us now and in the future.
And Antonia, we're almost out of time here, but just looking ahead, you mentioned there's still a budget bill to come. What else are you covering now? What are you looking at? What are the other big decision points coming up?
Oh, boy. I wouldn't even know where to begin. Unfortunately, with the Trump administration, one of the things that the administration has succeeded in is this deluge of actions and information. So please just keep up, keep informed, keep reading Rolling Stone, keep reading my writing, and please sharing your ideas for what it is that we're supposed to be covering.
And just real quickly, when is that budget bill going to be debated?
I don't know.
Okay. Is there any chance that some of these cuts in the tax bill might be reversed if there's political pushback?
I don't know. That's an excellent question. I don't think so, but that's a great question.
All right. Well, we'll have to stay tuned. I just want to thank you so much for joining us, Antonia Juhas, award-winning independent investigative journalist. I mentioned she's got those two Rolling Stone articles that we've linked on our website. She's also the author of three books, including The Tyranny of Oil. Antonia, thank you so much for joining us on Your Calls One Planet series.
Thanks for having me back again. It was great to be with you.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure. That is our show. Your Call is produced at KALW in San Francisco. To listen to past shows or sign up for our podcast, visit our website. You can get there via KALW.org. Click on news and you can find our program listed there. You can also find us on iTunes, where you can give us a review and email any show ideas and feedback that you have to yourcall@KALW.org. Malihei Razazan produced today's show. Kevin Vance is our studio engineer. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Ethan Elkind. It's Your Call.